Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney with Mr. Will.
What's up?
And Mr. Cole.
Hello.
Cole, when are you going to take over the intro again?
Oh, man. It's funny that I had not even thought about that, but I got to do it when you least expect it. So
heard the episode again where you did the takeover.
And the
first takeover.
I think I told Will about that, and I'm like, don't tell Rodney.
Yeah, I think you did. Were we in the same room at that time?
No.
I think we were. Yeah, I think we were. We were all at your place. Because I remember the look on your face, Rodney. You were broken.
We were so confused. You're just like, is this happening?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Paper Mario. I've been playing that for a couple days. And Ghost of Tsushima, Will's been playing that for a couple days.
That I have.
We'll finish up the podcast talking about the Xbox, an Xbox thing. And a couple of other things going to be coming up right now. All right, guys, welcome to the show. So let's start by talking about something negative, which is how I like to start all my shows. But so Hyperscape went into open beta. I think we talked about it in the end of the last podcast. Went into open beta, so Thursday night, I think it was, I got my game night, so I got permission from the wife. I gotta get permission to play fucking games, like I'm fucking 12. But
you have to be in bed by 9 o'clock, Rodney.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, so I texted Cole, I said, hey, download this game, we'll play it together and talk about it on the podcast. He's like, yeah, cool. Well, Cole downloaded the game, and he couldn't play. Like, it wouldn't open for him. Like, it said,
I downloaded the game, six times. I was missing some files, and then, I went to the links, and I found the files, and I put the files in, and, it just, no matter what I did, the game would not play. I was excited to play it. I wanted to play it, and it wouldn't work.
Well, I mean, you didn't miss much, because I played some solo games. Actually, did I play? Yeah, I only played solo. And the one good thing I'll say about this game is it definitely forces you not to be a camper. So they've kind of found a workaround with that. However, the movement for your character is totally fucking dumb. Like, it's way too... Your movement is too fast. Like, you can slide on your knees for, half the fucking map, I swear to God. And, think about Apex. When you slide on your knees on Apex, it's faster than that, and it's farther than that. So, you're moving around like crazy, and it's too frequent. Like, you can slide, and then as soon as you start losing speed, you can jump up, start running, and start sliding again. Like, the movement is just insane. Like, that's kind of what ruined the game for me, was the movement. Because on top of that, everybody just fucking soaks damage so hard. Like, you, like, ugh. It's just so frustrating.
Yeah, because you were looking up the damage that you do, and if you get a headshot, everybody has, what, 125 health?
Yeah.
And then every headshot does 75 damage, so a headshot with the sniper rifle takes away half your health.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's so kind of stupid.
You need two sniper headshots in a fast-paced game.
Yeah. And every other weapon does, like, no fucking damage. Like, the minigun does 3 damage per hit, but it has such a slow fire rate. It's like... Yeah, and they're moving so fucking fast that you don't even hit them any... Like, it's just, like, why would they make the movement speed so fast and so frequent? I don't know. It just made zero sense to me, and that really fucking disappointed me.
And I know, like, a lot... Like, people are into that game style, like, the super fast pace, high energy. It's totally fine, but, like, for me, I hate bullet sponge games.
Yeah.
Like, I even... When I play Call of Duty, I play on hardcore, and even on Warzone, it's kind of, like, I'm still a little bit... I can always hit first. You know, like, I got the quick reflex to hit first and, like, keep on it, but I always find, like, if there's too much health, you like, just pump it into him, pump it into him, pump it into him, and nothing ever happens. So that always drives me crazy, which Hyperscape kind of does.
Yeah, I mean, you never played, unfortunately.
No,
but...
I mean, we watched a ton of stuff on it. I mean, we talked about it quite a bit, and I was, like, researching it too, because I wanted to get into it and play, and it just seems like a very fast-paced, bullet-spongy kind of game.
Yeah, and so in Warzone, like, wherever you drop in, there's always chests tucked away somewhere. Like, no matter where you land... like, if it's on the roof of a building or whatever, there's, like, chests tucked away everywhere. With Hyperscape, like, all... Sorry, I'm putting my controller away. That's why you hear the zipping. I'm not, like, unzipping my jacket, like, getting ready for a fucking hard day at work here on the podcast.
Unzipping your pants,
yeah. Holding the member. Anyways, so the chests are all, like, basically ground level, all inside buildings. Like, I landed on fucking 1,000 rooftops... Or not landed, but, like, I went up onto, like, 1,000 different rooftops, it seemed like, and none of them had chests. So
and you
it's
were
like,
looking for chests up there to try to find something, and
yeah,
it was just nothing?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I wanted to drop somewhere, find a weapon, get set up, and then go in and try to fight some people.
What's your starting weapon?
You just have a melee, like stick. You just beat people with a fucking stick.
You were saying there was only one type of ammo, though, right?
Yeah, so... You just have to find an ammo box, and, like, if you're running low on ammo, there'll be, like, an ammo box out of a crate, or maybe sometimes just hanging out in the world, and you just have to interact with it, and then it'll restock your ammo.
Because that was kind of an interesting thing. When I was watching some of the trailers, you, like, throw away your gun and keep the ammo clip, and then you would, like, with the pistol, you'd be finishing the pistol, you'd take the ammo clip out, throw away the pistol, and then pull out another pistol and put the same ammo clip in. I thought that was kind of a funny... way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't play long enough to figure out that kind of stuff, but I got into five different gunfights, and I died every time. One guy, I fucking shot him so many times, and I'm like, why are you not fucking dead? Like, you should be dead 3 times over, and he just wouldn't die, and then I got third-partied and died, and I'm like, hey, fuck this game. This game's fucking stupid. well... The first death I had, I hit him with, like, a shotgun-type gun or something, and I did, like, 70 damage. I'm like, and I was pretty close to him. I'm like, okay, I did 70 damage, and then he just destroyed me with some, like, submachine gun or something. But
oh, you were saying with the weapons, you pick up the lowest tier one, so you always pick up the lowest tier one, and then if you pick up another one of the same weapon, it upgrades that weapon, which I think is interesting, because if you drop in with, like, say you spent like a couple hours playing this and you all drop in with people in the same area, it's not like you're gonna get a legendary gun and somebody else is gonna get the pea shooter and just gonna kill them right away. Like, it kind of evens the playing field across the board, which I think is a good way to do things.
Totally. One other thing to mention, when you drop in, you can land anywhere on the map, like games like Warzone or Apex or whatever. You're jumping out of a plane and you have a very limited amount of altitude before you'll hit the ground. Like, you can only travel so far, but in this game you're in a pod and you can actually travel to the complete opposite side of the map and then drop in. You don't have to wait for you don't have to land close and then get a vehicle or whatever the fuck and then go over there. You
that's
can just land
cool
there.
Yeah, I like that idea too. How many people are in a game again?
100.
Okay, so
how big's the map?
Well, it's a fair size, but it seems small because you can fucking slide across half of it in one fucking go, it seems like. and I made it to the middle. Like, I started at the edge of the map because I'm like, I just want to get a fucking gun and I want to get set up and then I want to start fighting people. So I landed in the edge of the map, and then I couldn't find a gun for fucking ever. Like, I literally ran probably a quarter of the way across the map before I found a chest. And then I started third-partying some guy, and then he just totally zipped in, and, like, people are on you. Like, as soon as they see you, and if they're far away, like, they're on you so fast because of the movement.
So. And usually when you're playing, like, a beta or a something to do in the beginning, or, like, a tester thing, you're gonna get everybody who's really sweaty, you know? There's not gonna be very many casual players who are like, oh, you know, like, they see the game, and they see some gameplay, and they're like, I wanna try that out. Like, you're gonna get the sweaty people who are, like, looking for sponsorship and like, I'll play your game kind of thing. So people go hard. So if you're just coming in to test it for your video game podcast, you're probably going to get stomped.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You were playing against streamers and pros for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We should go check all the new recent videos. Let's just watch Rodney get killed a bunch in them.
Yeah. what else happened? So, oh, yeah, there's the hacks. So the hacks are actually super cool, and they work the same as the weapons, where if you find the same hack, again, you can pick it up and then upgrade your hack, and it like reduces the cooldown and shit like that. So, yeah, the hacks are cool, but I run into this issue when I play Warzone 2, where like I'll forget the shit I have. You know, like I'll get in a gunfight and I'll totally forget like I have a throwing knife and I could have just killed him in one shot. You know what I mean?
You're like, oh yeah, I could have dropped my UAV and seen that there was a guy coming there rather than getting killed by it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, in this game, there's like I think there's 8 or 9 different hacks, and you can carry 2 at the same time. So it's like it's really hard to keep track of all the shit that's going on and all the things you're picking up. You know, like.
Hacks are like when you can make the wall appear, or you can like turn invisible or run faster.
Yeah, exactly. The wall one was pretty cool. Some guy tried to. Okay, well he did outplay me. He killed me, but. He threw the wall up and tried to like trap me in a corner, and then was trying to like come around the wall and whatever. I ended up escaping that and then getting outside, and then he killed me after. But I just thought it was cool. It's cool how you can basically reshape the battlefield with that wall. So yeah, the wall hack was cool.
I wish I played with you, because do you know what the res system is like? Like if you're dead, you're dead, right?
I only played solo, so I don't know. But there, from my experience, there wasn't a revive system at all. It's
there is in multiplayer, because I was watching videos, and you can get but the funny thing from what I've seen is when you die, so you can't be revived. You yourself have to make it to the revive station, and your teammate has to go with you to revive you.
Mm-hmm.
Plus,
cool,
they have
though.
To heal you.
Yeah,
that's cool, but it can kind of it might be like. Since it's such a fast-paced game, there's probably people wanting to thirst you pretty quick.
Yeah.
So I can see you just getting terminated while you're trying to get to that revive station.
Once you're dead, you're like a ghost. They can't even see you.
Oh, so you as a ghost has to... Oh, yeah. I see. I thought it was like a crawling thing where you're like...
No. And then
to,
that would suck, because the revive stations are randomly around the map.
So that's kind of cool. So if you die and your teammate's alive, you're kind of like a hologram, and then they have to get there and revive you. That's a cool revive system.
That's a different type of take on it compared to Fortnite. And who created the revive system? Was that Apex?
Apex.
I think it was,
So one other thing that was fucking goddamn annoying in this game was the footstep audio was just broken as fuck. You could be on the first floor of the building and you'll hear the footsteps on the roof like as loud as if they're beside you. And you're like, okay, someone's here. I don't know where they are, but they're here. And then you start running around trying to look for them. I landed at this like construction site type area, and I heard this guy's footsteps. He's on like the top fucking rung of a goddamn scaffold tower, and I'm on the ground floor, and I'm like looking for this guy. I'm like, he's fucking here. I hear him, but it's the audio needs some work for sure.
I feel like watching some gameplay. Damn it, I wish I could have played, but
me too.
The footsteps don't. I mean, obviously they matter, but I feel like they're not as important as, say, Call of Duty, where there's a lot of sneaky involved before you get into gunfights. This just seems like you're running and gunning.
Yeah. I mean, it gives you like in Call of Duty, like you said, it's very valuable to hear the footsteps because, yeah, they're not great. Like, lots of people think that they're fucking god awful, but, like, you know, you can tell the difference between somebody who's below you or above you or on the same floor or whatever the fuck, right? So, yeah. You know, it helps in knowing what options you have. Like, if they're directly below you, it's like, I can get the fuck out of here. Or I can wait them out and kind of pre-aim or whatever the fuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think Hyperscape needs a bit of work for me to pick it up again. I kind of hated it, I'm not going to lie. Like I only played 5 games, but like that was like the worst 5 fucking games of my life.
Yeah, and I mean obviously it's in free development. They're getting people to test it. So that's the whole point, is they want feedback. So it's Ubisoft, right? This is Ubisoft made?
Yeah.
Yeah. Send this to Ubisoft, maybe they'll be like, "All right, these are some stuff we're going to work on."
Yeah. I think the movement needs the most work. I think that you shouldn't be able to slide like fucking 200 meters. And I don't think that you should be able to just jump and run and then go into another 200 meter slide. Like, that's kind of fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. But at least it's different. You know what I mean? Like, it's very different as in it is half or fast paced, you know, for people who like that fast paced stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I kind of wanted to play Apex more. Like, I played Hyperscape, but, like, I'd rather play Apex.
From all the people that I've seen play this game, it seems like you were saying, it's very fast paced, but this is not a game that you can stop.
Yeah.
Like, all the people I've watched play it, they're constantly moving. Like, they don't sit in one place for even a second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
I want to see somebody use a sniper. Everybody's using pistols and assault rifles.
The sniper's okay. It has a fixed scope. Like, you can't find one with, like, medium range scope or something on it. So, like, the one...
I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, the gun... Or, sorry, the one game I actually, like, ran forever and tried to find a gun. The first gun I find is a fucking sniper rifle. And the first person I see is in a building. And that's, like, the only gun I have is a sniper rifle. So it's like, oh, great, now I'm fucking sniping a guy that's 5 feet away from me and he's moving super quick. Like, I'm losing this fight right now. So...
that was Brian. He would have hit the shot.
Yeah, every probably. Time. Probably.
That is a monster.
All right, well, I think that's enough of the game Shitty I actually game. Didn't want to fucking talk about for 19 fucking minutes. Yeah. But on a happier note, we finally have a release date for Microsoft Flight Simulator.
You love them flight simulators.
August 18th, 2020, and it'll be on the Xbox Game Pass for PC. So I don't have to pay any extra money for it. So I was just saying to Will, I got to make sure my simulator shit actually works again.
It better work. I helped you move it like 6 times.
Well, I got rid of the fucking beast of a table it was on before.
Yeah, the mix match table. So Rodney got like a camping table and drilled a bunch of spots into it. And
I bought it like that, actually. You think I could fucking build that? Like, come on, I can't build a fucking chair.
Dude, I helped him bring that downstairs at his old place. That thing was a beast taking down the stairs into the garage. And then you're like, oh, let's not put it in the garage. Let's put it beside the fish tank. And then it just sat there.
Yeah.
Well, now the new simulator's coming out.
Well, yeah, no, I pulled the panel off that. So the old one, yeah, like Cole was saying, it was like a camping table, like a osculating camping table. And then it had the instrument panel on there, and then it had like a wooden brace system, and then it had like a rig to put a TV monitor on. So it was a beefy fucking thing. But I have just been using my computer monitor, so I have no need for this fucking rig for this. Like, the TV monitor that was on it when I bought it was like fucking from the 2000s, so it was just thick, right?
And heavy,
yeah. And actually, funny story about this is when I bought the thing, I bought it, and then a day later, me and Brittany got into this huge fight, like, pretty much almost fucking ended it right there. Like, we didn't talk to each other for 3 days. First thing I say to her, hey, can you come help me pull this TV off the fucking simulator thing? And yeah, so that fixed it, obviously. But yeah, so I pulled the instrument panel off and got rid of that table, got rid of all that shit. I bought a new piece of wood, and I'm just gonna make it much more, you know, space friendly and all that. So yeah, nice. I gotta get that all figured out. So
What year was the old simulator?
When was the last simulator?
Like the one that we were playing on your side?
2005. That was the last time Microsoft released.
The graphics are horrible, but it's very realistic for flying.
Yeah.
But from what I've seen of like the new flight simulator, this thing is realistic. It's beautiful. It's crisp.
Yeah, and you can fly anywhere in the world. But on the beta...
took 15 years to make it.
Oh, totally. Well, because only we've been fucking screaming for one for like 15 fucking years. And yeah. But anyways, you can fly anywhere in the world on the full version. But in the beta, there, you can actually buy like a better beta version and you get access to more airports and more more aircraft to fly. But I mean, I'm just going to stick with the basic. Like fucking, I'll probably only fly like twice a week anyway on it. Mm. So, you know, I'm not going to spend $130 fucking dollars on the ultimate pack to get 10 extra planes and 10 extra airports. Like, you know.
Or you could.
I'll laugh if you do, though.
I won't. No, I have more self-control than you will.
Oh. We'll see about that.
So. All right. So, what can I say about this Microsoft Flight Simulator other than what I've already said? Yeah. Game Pass. Dude, yeah, the graphics look really good. Like, I'm actually really impressed with how this looks. Hopefully this one has a fucking carb heat setting, because the other one didn't. You guys don't get the joke because you're not a pilot, but yeah.
No, I was thinking about plane talk.
Okay, well, everyone knows what a carburetor is, hopefully. Like, same with in your car or your fucking lawnmower or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, a carburetor.
So in a piston aircraft, when you're flying with icing conditions, water droplets can get in your fuel line and then freeze at the carburetor, and it restricts the actual fuel flow into the engine. So that's called carb ice. And then we have a thing in the plane that you pull, and it actually changes the airflow from filtered air to unfiltered air, but the unfiltered air goes past the exhaust and heats up the air, so then it just melts the ice and gets rid of it. So I'm flying in the game in a winter setting, and I'm like, my engine's like fucking dying. I'm like, oh, I have carb ice. So there's no fucking keyboard setting for carb ice. I'm like, this is the most basic fucking function for an airplane, and you don't have it in your fucking game, Microsoft? Fuck, dude. I was just like, so
frustrated. So does it actually affect your flying?
Yeah, I had to.
But you can't do anything about it.
I couldn't do anything about it.
I mean in the game. Not in real. Obviously, it affects your flying in real life. Oh, but you know what? When you're playing the game.
I'm sorry. I fucked that. No, there was a keyboard setting, but I was using my simulator, right? My actual like hardware.
Oh.
But the
yeah.
So the drivers that I used to have my simulator hardware talk to the game didn't have a carb heat setting. That's what it was. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, who built this? Like, are you a pilot or what? Like, fuck. I couldn't believe it. So I had to like pause the game, open up the like the help hints controls. I'm like, what is carb heat? Oh, control H. Fucking cool. I have to now like reach behind my simulator to where the keyboard is and push control H to continue to fly and not crash. So, you know,
you could have just crashed.
Yeah, I was gonna say you could just crash and have a good laugh.
Well, actually, that was a different experience. I turned on the co-op feature, so like I was playing online, started flying a King Air, like a twin engine, whatever the fuck, and I left the right seat open so somebody could join me if they wanted. So oh, I'm no. flying, I'm climbing, right? I'm at like 5,000 feet or something, and then I get a buddy that joins. I'm like, oh hey buddy, what's happening? And he just starts turning shit off. Fucking fuels goes off. Fucking kills an engine. Pulls the fire. He pulled the fire extinguisher on both engines, which don't give me the option to restart my engine. I'm like, cool, I'm crashing now because this guy's a fucking dink. Yeah, it's a good time.
I think that guy's my hero.
Yeah, I was gonna say
it was probably like... you, Cole.
Yeah, right.
That's the kind of shit you would do.
I just buy the game just to try to crash your planes anonymously.
Yeah, yeah, watch out when you get the new version, Rodney.
Oh, actually,
I'm going to get the whole $130 version with the new planes and the airports.
Actually, I just remembered something about this game is on the multiplayer version, you can actually select a server realistic or just for fun. So the realistic is like you're flying with a flight plan, you're flying per like the actual rules of the air, and then for fun is like people who want to do fucking barrel rolls and crash into the control tower and then go oh right. So yeah.
So yeah. You're going to be doing lots of barrel rolls?
Two barrel rolls.
I honestly don't even know how to do a barrel roll properly, to be fucking fully honest. A barrel,
in real life?
Yeah, because a barrel roll isn't what everyone... It's not what people think it is because of Star Fox. Like, that's not an actual barrel roll. Oh. Something else. That's,
If you can fly a jet, you should do, like, the Top Gun pass.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. God damn you, Maverick.
All right, so that's Flight Sim for Windows PC. Why don't we talk about Paper Mario now? All right, so...
How many years?
What's that?
How many years has it been since the last?
Oh, it hasn't been that long.
It hasn't been.
Color Splash was the last
one. This is the fifth Paper Mario game?
No, this is the sixth, actually.
Sixth Paper Mario game. Really?
Yeah.
Facts.
So yeah,
why do I only have...
Well, you had the 64,000 Year Door and then Super Paper Mario for the Wii. And then you had Sticker Star, Color Splash, and then this one.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't have the one for the Wii. Because I have the one for, obviously, N64. And so I have an office in my house. And I do all my editing and everything in my office. And I went out yesterday or 2 days ago and I bought a TV. And I hooked my GameCube up to that TV, so now I have a TV hanging in my office with my GameCube.
Nice.
And I'm playing through a thousand Year Door right now. So I just beat. I just got the second star, the green one from the pygmy tree. So I just did that, and now I'm going to the arena in the sky to get my Yoshi.
So first of all, I might come to your house and play the game because I want to play that game again so fucking bad.
Oh, dude! I beat Pikmin 1 in one sitting, and then I started playing Pikmin 2, and I brought it to my parents' house, and I forgot my memory card at my parents' house. So I have a second one at my house, so I just started Paper 1,000 Year Door on that one, and when I beat that, I'm going to start Lord of the Rings, The Third Age. It's like the same as Paper Mario. You're your character and you unlock people to be in your party and you go through Middle Earth and you're following the Fellowship trying to catch up to Boromir.
Oh, yeah.
And then you find out he's dead and then you like fight in the Battle of Helm's Deep and you fight in Minas Tirith and everything. Like, it's basically like a storyline beside the Fellowship. It's a really cool game.
Interesting.
But I'm going to rebeat it.
Yeah, I had to go back and play my GameCube games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I was going to say, Cole, is nobody would blame you if you totally discounted Super Paper Mario because it was not the best.
It wasn't very good?
No.
But neither was Color Splash. Like, I was playing through Color Splash, and man, I have it for my, what's it called? What's the fancy Nintendo portable one?
3DS?
3DS. I think it's my 3DS. Yeah.
3DS was Sticker Star.
Yeah, Sticker Star is absolute trash, and that was the 3DS one.
Sticker Star, but then I have my Wii U. Yeah, that's the Color Splash.
Well, I don't even remember anything about Sticker Star except for you had to collect stickers to fucking attack, which I thought was asinine. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember anything about Color Splash, like not a fucking thing.
That's why I was scared about Origami King. I was like, so I'm excited to hear what you have to say because it's going to whether or not I get it is going to be from what you say about it right now.
Okay, well, my initial thoughts are it's not as bad as the other two. The other two can fucking just disappear, along with Super Paper Mario. They can just disappear. This one goes back to the roots, kind of. So, first I'll start talking about the battles. So battles in this game are kind of unnecessary because there's no level system. You don't defeat enemies, gain experience, level up. That's not how it works. They've stuck with how they did it in Color Splash and Sticker Star, where you just get new abilities that unlock the next path forward.
Oh man.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying.
I love the grind, man. I'm just going like I'm fighting the same battles over and over again to try to get my level up.
Yeah. The only thing that really indicates strength in this game is obviously you have your HP bar, and when you find HP up stuff, so like HP plus 5 or HP plus 20, then lower level enemies that were in like the first area or the second area of the game, you can literally jump on them or hammer them and they'll fucking insta-die and you don't have to go through the whole battle thing. So that there's a little bit of strength increase that way. Now, going more into battles, they've totally... like changed how battles are in a sense. Like, so you start the battle, imagine the battlefield. It's not Mario's on the left and the enemies are on the right anymore. Imagine like a dartboard. Okay, Mario's on the bullseye, and there's maybe seven like columns, like a radio column, and then there's four rings. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how the battlefield's laid out. So an enemy, they'll drop enemies randomly on, or randomly in quotations, on this dartboard thing, and you have to try to line them up so they're either in a straight line or two by two. So if they're in a straight line, then you would use a jump attack or a hurl hammer or whatever, and that would kill them right away. Or if they're the two by two, then you'd use your hammer. So it gives you a certain amount of moves, so you can move the ring, like each ring around counterclockwise or clockwise, or you can shift the columns. Or so they call it a slide. And they'll give you a certain amount of moves and a certain amount of time to line everybody up. If you line everybody up perfectly in a straight line and two by two, then you get, it'll say great lineup, and then it'll give you like an attack boost for that turn. And if you do that, then you can actually kill everybody in one hit if you have all the right weapons, like the shiny boots or shiny hammer or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was really fucking weird for me at first, and actually talking to a couple of the people on our Video Games Now Discord, they were saying the same thing. Like it was weird. It was weird to experience that puzzle element before getting into a battle. But we're used to it now. I would rather still not do that. I would just rather just straight battle somebody, but you know, they had to add it in somewhere.
It looked fun. Like I've seen gameplay of it, and it's not that fun.
Sometimes it's fucking frustratingly annoying. Like especially when you get enemies that take more than one hit to die. Now you have to try to line them up, and then you have to attack them, and then now they're going to attack you and then re-scatter, and then you got to fucking line them up again. Or if I didn't think the puzzles were going to be that hard, but fuck, they get hard at some point. Like they'll just scatter them just right, so you're like, I don't fucking have any idea how to line these guys up, and you'll be trying stuff, and then you just run out of time, and now you have to attack like scattered out enemies, and you can't hit them all. There's no way to possibly hit them all now because they're not lined up. So then now the battle phase is extending much further than it should be.
How far? Like, so not the leveling up system, but the actual level system. Like, what are you collecting or what are you freeing? Like, you go from area to area.
Yeah. So
what are you doing there?
So Peach's castle gets surprise taken over by not Bowser. You actually find him like in the very beginning of the game, like folded up in a fucking like seven times fold over piece of paper. And
that's funny.
Yeah, and he actually helps you escape from the castle. But this origami like emo dude, I did the emo voice for him when I was streaming, because I always read out the dialogue in my own voices. anyways, he wraps the castle in like five different colored streamers and then suspends it in like the sky, so you got to try to find the source of the streamers and like presence and streamers, not like, you know, me being a streamer. Anyways,
yeah.
Bad joke.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, yeah, so you have to find the source of the streamers and get rid of them, and then you'll be able to go to the castle. I've only gotten rid of two streamers, so I'm only, we'll say, 35% done the game.
Okay. How are the boss battles? That's what I was getting to. I was like, how, like, because you were talking about the battle system and the turning, do you fight bosses the same way, or
you don't fight them in the same sense as just regular battles. It's kind of completely different, to be honest. So instead of Mario being in the middle and then everything attacking inward, you're actually on the outside of the ring, and then it'll give you a certain amount of moves, and it's actually super hard to explain. So each, there'll be, throughout the panels, like on all the rings or whatever, there'll be like arrows, and there'll be like a letter to open that'll reveal the boss's weakness. There'll be an on switch to trigger all like the magic circles, which I'll get into later. Excuse me. There'll be hearts to heal. There'll be coins randomly. What else? And then there's attack spaces. So you have to, Mario will be standing on the edge of the circle. You have to put an arrow directly in front of him to start him walking in a specific direction, and then he won't stop until he hits either like an attack space Or he'll hit like a dead end, like if he like runs into the boss or something random, or something like that. So it's you guys honestly have to look it up. It's super hard to explain. But yeah, that I kind of don't like that. Like I want to just fucking fight the boss. I don't want to have to put this whole new puzzle element into fighting the boss. So I don't know. The boss fights kind of suck for me. However, they do keep it kind of fresh, and like it's not just doing the same thing three times and then you beat the boss. It's you have to like get around to the right side of the boss and then use one of the magic circles to use like the thousand arm, what's it called? The thousand arm hands or something. And
the thousand arm hands.
I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, so you push X and then these like accordion hands come out and it's motion controlled. So you have to try to find the right area and then hold both Z buttons and then it'll tell you to like pull or smash or twist or whatever. And you have to do that with them with the triggers held, and then yeah, it just adds a bit more. So I just beat like a rubber dude, like he was like a thousand rubber bands made into a body, and I had to use those arms to like grab the rubber band, stretch it back, and then let go, and then it would make lots of his rubber bands like spread all over the place. So you know, like I said, it keeps it kind of fresh for all the boss fights. It's not just like just jump on his head and hit him with a hammer or whatever. Sometimes the jumping or hammer doesn't do fucking anything and you have to try to figure out how to defeat the boss without those items. Or there will be a boss that's airborne, so you got to jump on him to knock him to the ground and then you can use your hammer kind of thing. So it kind of adds a little bit of strategy, but I would much prefer to just do the old classic boss fights.
I don't think this game appeals to me that much.
I would check it out when it drops in price, but we know that's never
gonna happen. Yeah, Nintendo never drops prices. They always stay at $80.
I think I saw, like, what was the last one? Odyssey. I think it's still $80.
Yeah. I guess I can't even let you borrow it because I bought it digitally, so. But
didn't the PlayStation have that thing where you could share games? Like, if you could pick a console to share your games with that console?
No, PlayStation hasn't done anything like that. Xbox has a similar feature, though, with like their, instead of like the normal pass, they have their family pass. So say like Rodney and I registered like a new game pass with you and all that on under Xbox, we could have like four people under the same one account.
Interesting.
And we all clearly have the same last name, so that would fucking fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Family pass.
That was kind of a bad way to start talking about Paper Mario. Was the battle system was the biggest change, and that's kind of the biggest thing that you had to get over. The only other negative thing I'll say about it is, fuck the hand-holding at the beginning. I wanted to fucking kill somebody. If anyone who was watching my stream, I was literally yelling, like, shut your fucking mouth, let me play the fucking game, lady. Like, she's the new Navi, dude. Like, she's so fucking annoying. Like, so they gave you a tutorial on the battle, on how to battle. Literally, they wouldn't let you go to the next step until you read the dialogue and pushed okay. And then you would read the dialogue and push okay and do the one step she told you about. And then, like, it was super hand-holdy. And I'm like, this is fucking stupid. I'm just so annoyed.
That drives me crazy.
And then not once, but twice, you had to do a fucking tutorial on the battles. She's like, hey, I just want to make sure you get how the battles work. I'm like, I fucking get it. Like, I'd watched your ridiculous tutorial that was stupid long, and I get it. But I had to, like, do it again, and, like, that fucking pushed me over the edge, and that made me hate the game. So I kind of... That's kind of why I'm talking about the game negatively, because, like, that was my first, like, half hour to an hour was, like, dealing with this kind of shit. I was like, fuck, dude. Like, oh, this is super annoying.
Nintendo's getting pretty bad with their holding, like, hand-holding and stuff like that. Look at Pokemon and all that.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the Pokemon hand-holding on Sword and Shield is just like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even past the hand-holding, like, just some of the, at the end game stuff, I was just like, let me finish the game. I have the Isle of Armor, and I thought I had almost beaten the game. I was like, oh man, I'm so close to beating the game. When Isle of Armor comes out, I'll finish it, and then I'll beat the game. I was so wrong. I had so much game left, and it was just like, oh god, I was like, please just let me finish this so that I can go play Isle of Armor, and it just kept going and going and going and going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chill out on all the story stuff.
The other, actually, this is still happening. The other thing that's just fucking infuriating is, like, when I was in film school, Cole, I'm sure you can concur with this. When we took the writing class, the first thing they essentially said was, don't assume your audience is dumb. Right?
Yes.
So
yeah, your audience is smart. They're kind of scary.
Yeah.
Fear your audience.
So shit'll happen in the game, like you'll save a toad and he's like, "Hey, I'm the sea captain. Come see me, you know, in Toad Town and I'll take you like out on the ocean." Cool, thanks. He'll leave and then fucking Navi 2 will be like, "Hey, Toad Town, do you remember? It was that place you visited in the first fucking town in the like I know what I'm doing. Shut up. Let me play the fucking game." Like, oh my god.
So look at A Thousand Year Door. The Navi character in A Thousand Year Door, you could choose whether or not to ask her for help. So if you press X for Goombella?
Yeah.
She'll tell you, but you choose whether or not she's going to tell you. So yeah. Like if you need help with something or you're getting lost, and there's even a character where you can go into the sewer and talk to a character that's literally there to tell you what to do next if you get lost. So you give her like 2 coins and she goes like, "This is where you're going to go." Do that, you know?
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. And, another example is like, you'll complete a puzzle and a door will open. Like, it'll show you the door opening. Like, cool. I'm going to go there. Cause I just opened a new way forward, but she'll come out and be like, "Oh, hey, the door's over there. We should go check it out." I fucking know. Just stop talking. Oh my god, it's so frustrating. And then there's just the dialogue in this game is so kiddie. Like that you'll be walking forward, and then you'll come to a full stop. And then I picked up a bomb or whatever you fucking say it along the way too. It's not like a. He's kind of like a party member. He's nothing like any of the past party members, like in Thousand Year Door or whatever, where you get like 8 or 9 different ones and they follow you and you can swap them out. Like, it's nothing like that. But I have him, and then I have my Navi 2 character. And they'll just start having this, like, conversation that, like, does not fucking matter and, like, does not drive the story forward. It's, like, just, like, trying to build lore, but no one fucking cares. It's like, "Oh, hey, I've always wanted to visit Shogun Studios." Like, no one fucking cares. Like, let me just explore the world and whatever. Like, oh. Okay, so that's the only complaints I have about the game is the battle system and the fucking Navi 2. Like,
you said that is there side characters that you can swap out and trade? Like, do you build a party or is it just you?
It's just me. I found like a bomb dude, but he does come into battles with me, but I can't control him. Like, he'll attack on his own randomly. He'll attack one character and do like 20 damage. But I didn't like that either, actually. I didn't like how it's just you. And and to attack, so you can visit, there's a weapon shop in Toad Town, and you can buy, like, shiny boots, spike boots, or iron boots, sorry, hurl hammers, fire flowers. So all that kind of stuff is still there. And then you have to equip it in your kind of weapon slots, and then you can use them throughout the battle. So once you use your shiny boots, like, 15 times or something, then they'll break, and then you have to re-equip either new ones that you bought or something completely different if you want.
Bring in that break system.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. Monster Hunter, it was all originally in Japanese, right? And then these guys translated all to English, and then that's how it gets all the English. They just get these couple of guys in a room to translate everything, and then they said that they would just make it as goofy and fun for people as they could. I wonder how they do that for Mario, for instance. Like, do they make everything in all languages, or do they make it in Japanese first and then translate it from there?
No, that's a big that's a big reason why they don't have a lot of voice acting in a lot of their games, is so that they just get the text box, and then whoever's localizing the game can just say whatever the fuck they want, is essentially. Like, they'll have the script of here's what they say and here's what's moving the story forward, but, you know, we can do it in our own way, right? And I think, I don't know, I don't think it's entirely Nintendo's, like, Japan's fault. I think a little bit of it rests with Nintendo of America.
It's not Japan's fault.
Well, I mean, the localizing team, I think, is who we have to kind of blame for the kid holding. Like, I get it's E for everyone, but, like, no one's, we're not 4 years old. Like, anyone who's fucking 4 years old has a parent sitting there. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. They just, it's like early learning fucking shit. It's just so frustrating. The especially the Navi 2 shit. Like, oh my god, Boys, I was like yelling at my fucking microphone yesterday or Friday when I was streaming Paper Mario, and she just wouldn't shut up. And shit was happening in the game that you can't skip. Nothing's skippable. You can't skip any dialogue. You can't skip any fucking cutscenes. It's like,
can you speed it up? Can you speed though?
Nope. You have to fucking painfully sit there and swear at your fucking TV because you have to read it all.
Interesting.
However,
Paper Mario game has the skipping, or like, you know, you can speed, you can just zip through it.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, too advanced now, I guess. I don't know. They couldn't fit it in the game, I guess. But once you die, like if you save before a boss fight and then watch the stupid boss cutscene and all the dialogue and all that bullshit, and then you die during the boss fight and come back to your last save, then you can skip shit you've already seen.
Oh, okay, that's good. That would always drive me crazy in games where it's like hard, you're dying all the time, just to like rewatch this cutscene over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
That was driving me nutty.
But yeah, so far I am enjoying the game. What I do like about the game is the overworld stuff. So when you start the game, this Origami King dude turns every fucking toad into some origami fucking thing. Like every single toad in the entire kingdom. So there's a lot of toads you gotta find. Like everywhere you go, there's like at least like where you're standing, there's at least a toad by you. Like everywhere you walk and then stop, there's a fucking toad by you. Like there's so many toads. There's one area, like a small, I wouldn't say small, it was one area had 50 toads. It's like fuck, dude. And I was streaming and I'm like, my completionist OCD is kicking and I'm like, I gotta find all the toads. And I'm like, wait,
get all these toads.
Yeah. And then people in the chat were like, oh, one's a butterfly, or one's here, or one's like, they're finding the fucking toads for me. And I'm like, oh fuck, I didn't even see that. So yeah, like there's everything that you would assume is just part of the world is a fucking toad. So be like, oh, that's a nice butterfly. Oh, it's a toad. You fucking smack it with your hammer and then turns into a toad. And it's like, fuck, dude.
Is it fun though? Like, is it kind of like a fun collecty thing? Is it like the Korok seeds from Legend of Zelda?
No, it's not like not that. It's some of them are pretty easy to find. If you're just paying attention to your surroundings, like for example, there'll be a sign, two lampposts on either side of the road, and one of them will have a very perfect square piece of paper in it that most people would miss, but it's got a very like. You'll see the toad head pattern in it. It's very subtle, and you're like, oh, hey, hang on, and then you'll hit it with your hammer, and then the toad will unfold itself, and you're like, oh, fuck, like, I almost missed him. So some of them are pretty hard. Some of them require a bit of puzzle work. I don't know how I got this one toad, but I went into this one area, and there's a little, like, origami gopher, and there's six different, like, holes, and every time you would approach the gopher, he would disappear and appear in another hole. And I'm like, oh, no problem, I'll just like hammer the holes and they'll disappear. So I got him down to just the one hole and I snuck up and he went underground and then six more holes appeared. And I'm like, fuck, like it took me like a good 10 minutes to fucking catch him and get him. I was like a little, yeah.
Good little puzzle.
Yeah. So every area has, you need to find all the toads. You need to find, all the question mark blocks. What else? You need to find, okay. So this is one thing I didn't mention. So you have a bag of confetti, which I was really skeptical about when I first got it. So it's like, here's your bag of confetti. And I'm like, the fuck? So people have been like taking, like ripping the paper from the fucking like world. So you can see inside and it's just like a black hole with like wiring in it where the paper would be resting on. And when you see those, you throw confetti and then it'll patch the holes and then fix it. So you got to find in each area all the holes and patch them up with confetti.
So is that how you get to the boss or you beat the area? Like you have to complete all of these things or is it optional? You can just keep playing and then you don't have to fill in every hole and find every toad.
You don't have to. The benefit of finding toads is when you're battling, you're in a circular arena. So there's benches all around you. And the more toads you save, the more toads watch you battle. And you can actually throw coins to the toads and they'll come and like heal you or like damage the enemies or like rescatter them.
They do that in 1,000 Year Door as well.
Yeah. So
that's a cool callback to that.
Yeah. What else? Yeah. I mean, the game so far is fine. There's a lot of fetch quest bullshit, which kind of is a little irritating, but it's I feel like that happened in the original Paper Mario and the 1,000 Year Door as well. Like all the like you would go to an area and you're like, "Oh, I have the key to the door," and then like some random thing would come and take the key and you're like, "Fuck, now I got to go chase this thing down and get the key back. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
oh, yeah.
It's that kind of shit.
I in A Thousand Year Door, when I was doing the tree level,
yeah,
you got to go up and down that tree so many times. I was like, man, there's got to be an easier way to go. It's still super fun. Like, I was loving it, but it's like, man, I was going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth the whole tree.
Yeah. There's a... yeah, the bomb guy I was talking about, there was one area in the game where he's like, oh, hey, like, he his thing is he lost his memory, so he's, like, experiencing shit for the first time again. And he's like, oh, that's cool, and he'll, like, run ahead and then fall off a bridge, and you're like, cool, now I gotta jump off the bridge and fuck come after you and do a whole 20 minutes of stupid shit when I kinda just walked across the bridge and went to the temple or whatever, right? So, yeah, it's annoying. But, yeah, so the new things in this game, so every... major boss that you beat, you get like a new magic circle, which your Navi 2 person can turn into. And so, like, for example, I beat the water one and I was able to like refill the lake, and that kind of opened up the way to the next area. And then when you battle the next bosses, you can actually use those spell powers in the boss battles, but you got to make sure the magic circle's on, which I think is fucking stupid. Yeah. So, if anyone's skeptical about this game, just by my fucking review, you have a reason to be skeptical, but it's not as bad as the last two. So, it's definitely worth, if you're definitely bored, it's worth the $80.
So, if you liked Color Splash and you liked Sticker, what's it called?
Sticker Star, you'll fucking love this one.
You'll love this one.
Yeah. Not as good as A Thousand Year Door. I think A Thousand Year Door is still the best one.
Yeah, A Thousand Year Door, and then even the original 64 is just like, yeah. Ugh.
Classic.
The thing that hooked me is that they have a trailer for Origami King, and it's showing some of the areas, and some of like the desert looks really cool, yeah. The jungle looks really cool, the ocean looks really, like, there's there was just these things that were super intriguing, so we'd almost have to come back to this again when you've beaten it and see how, it's like the beginning and the end of the Origami King. What do you think of,
to be honest, okay, first of all, I'm fucking glad they got rid of the bullshit that was in Sticker Star and Color Splash, where, like, it was the overworld from the past Mario games, like the world 1 of 1 or 1 of 2, like, fuck that. Paper Mario is an RPG, keep it an RPG, don't try to mix it in with old OG fucking Mario shit, like, that pissed me off about the other two, which is why I struggled to even finish them. But this one went back to the roots of, it's an RPG, you're exploring a world, and they made the overworld actually super interesting. So, that, yeah, that's kind of my 2 cents on that.
Nice.
Alright,
nice.
So, we're at fucking almost an hour in this podcast, and we haven't even talked about Ghost of Tsushima yet.
Maybe we'll do Ghost next week?
Nah.
I'll beat the game?
Possibly, yeah.
Well, right. What are your thoughts on it so far? Or do you want to do a beginning and after for that too, or just
okay?
Wait?
So I will tell everyone. I don't know why I did this, but if you saw the trailers, you know how they gave you the choice. You can either play in English, Japanese, or black and white. Well, I didn't want to play in black and white because I wanted the color, but I played with the Japanese with subtitles.
All right.
Yeah, but then when it gave me the difficulty thing, and I've been watching a couple people play, I was like, well, easy's too easy, and medium, like, you can still take damage. So for some reason in my mind, I decided to go the hardest difficulty possible.
Hell yeah. That's the way to do it, brother.
Yeah, but it's also like you get sliced twice and you're pretty much dead.
And everybody's yelling at you in Japanese and you're like, are you friendly or are you trying to kill me?
Well, the Mongols aren't friendly, I can tell you that much. And they're usually the only people you run into out in the world. The mechanics are actually pretty good. There's a few issues I have, like the parry system could be tweaked a bit. I find, so you have like your two attacks, or your on PlayStation is your square and your triangle. Mm-hmm. Now your block is your block is LB, same with parry, and your dodge is circle.
So you're kind of all over the place on the controller.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Can you map your controller? Like, does it give you the option to map it out or have different options, or is it...
I haven't checked with that because I've been using my scuff, so I just mapped dodge to one of my paddles. But okay. Even then, it, like, on hard difficulty, you don't get that much choice. So when they attack, there's either going to be like a little red symbol that'll show that like this attack isn't parryable. Like, it's going to fucking hit you no matter what. So you have to block.
Batman.
You have to... dodge that, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's attacks that even if you dodge, they'll sometimes keep attacking. So, like, you dodge to the right, they miss you, and then all of a sudden they're on you. Like, fuck off. Seriously? And there's no lock-on system.
Well,
so
that's dumb.
When you're slashing a sword, like, you can miss your target just as well. So that's kind of a bullshit thing there, too. And as it's a samurai thing, they emphasize it so much that he has to follow his code.
So what does that mean?
Okay, so you've never watched a samurai movie or
no.
anything?
No, no.
Okay. So your code as a samurai is, like, you attack your enemies face on.
But you don't have a lock system? That's fucking really counterintuitive.
Exactly, right? And then there's abilities you get for, like, assassination and stuff like that. So when I used my first assassination when I was taught, the guy reprimanded me saying that's not how my father and my uncle taught me to be, and it's dishonorable to the code, right? Then I fucking assassinated a captain because he was, like, really strong and he was pissing me off. And then instead of, like, because there's no one there to reprimand me the second time, they give me a fucking cutscene with them, like, teaching me the code as a child.
Oh.
Every time you disobey the code, you got to get the cutscene.
Pretty soon you're going to be shoving that samurai sword in your own fucking stomach, Will.
Pretty much. But now I've been assassinating everyone because you can't take on a fort of, like, 30 enemies head on. Like, the way they plan, so if you walk to the front of the base, right, it gives you the option to call out the enemy with, like, a standoff.
That's kind of a cool mechanic.
All the enemies will rush towards you, and you can stand off against two of them. So you can, if you press the buttons properly, you can kill at least two. But then all the others are, like, you're pretty much surrounded now. And there's different types of enemies. So there's guys, like, really tough SOBs that have, like, a huge mace. I hate them. Then there's dual wielders. They're a bitch as well. Then there's the normal shield guys. They're okay. But the main priority at the start of any fight, always go after those fucking archers.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Oh, God. Like, those arrows, like, you can hear them coming. And if you have the right time, you can, dodge out of the way, which is nice. But if there's six archers, you can't block all those arrows coming at you.
Pull the Matrix. So,
I literally, like, run away from all the enemies, locate the archers, kill them, then get back into the fight. There's a few, like, there's some problems with, like, some of the mechanics. But other than, like, that, I'm having a good time.
Cool. How's, like, the mechanics for getting around the world? Like, remember we talked about, like, the wind guiding you and stuff like that? How is that all?
Okay. The wind is okay. I'm slowly getting the hang of it now. It's like, you can sometimes see it in the air, but mostly you're supposed to look at the grass.
Okay.
And see which way, like, the wind is blowing. And depending, you can actually, if you don't have, like, a check, like, something, if you haven't set, like, a location that you want to go to, which the wind will take you to, you can just click guiding wind and then be like, go after artifact or go after banner. So, like, artifacts are just collectibles. If you collect banners, you can get new saddles for your horses. You can also set it to go after cosmetic items, so you can run into dyes for your sword, your tanto, your armor, and your bow.
I just want to see Mufasa sitting in the clouds blowing. He's the one guiding you.
And then if you play shady, right, like you assassinate and stuff like that, then the weather gets bad.
If you wait, sorry, you assassinate people and then the weather goes bad? Like, what kind of fucking guard are you?
I don't know. Later on, you can learn, like, flute songs that'll change the weather, so you can actually make it foggy or something if you're about to storm a base. Yeah.
Cole beat me by one note because I was going to do something similar.
What were you going to do?
I was going to do the fucking Song of Storms, yeah.
That's
so
funny.
Playing on the hardest difficulty is actually quite a challenge. I die quite a bit and have to redo what I'm doing. So I realized, like, I tried to take on my first mythical quest, which will give you, like, I was trying to get the, like, the heavy bow.
Yep.
Not ready for it. Like, the first three parts of the quest, easy. Then the last one, you face this Tengu monk. Mm-hmm. Like a monk wearing a Tengu mask.
Yep.
And, yeah, he on hardcore or hard difficulty is not fun, especially when, like, I'm not wearing the top-of-the-line armor and my sword's not maxed out. So I'm like, I should probably come back to this because I rage quit on him earlier.
The lore in this world, it's not fantasy, right? It's real.
It's yeah,
accurate so based off a real story. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So this
there's no headless monkeys running around or?
No.
Okay.
Basically, you know how it's called Ghost of Tsushima? So I guess I just did the quest now where, like, one of the people are starting to call you, like, a vengeful spirit.
But because you keep assassinating everybody?
I wish. But no, it's just because all the peasants and, like, everyone is scared of the Mongols. Mm. And when you went to war with them on Komodo Beach, basically every single samurai except you and your uncle were killed.
Cool.
Damn.
Yeah, and then all the most of the mercenaries were wiped out. You run into, like, the rest of them later on, and you have to, like, get them back to strength. Yeah, it's pretty tough, right? But basically, you were... I'm not spoiling anything too bad, but you were left on the beach, thought to be dead, and then someone found you and, like, healed you up. And now you're out for revenge.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Good old revenge story, Quentin Tarantino style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like how there's different stances as well that you unlock later on. So there's the normal stance, which is good about, you know, with just, like, enemies and archers.
Yeah.
Then there's, like, the water stance, which is good for enemies with shields. Mm-hmm. And then I've just got the air stance, which now is making it a lot easier to take out people with spears.
Excellent. So it makes you struggle kind of hard in the beginning, and then you kind of learn new skills and stuff to kind of help you continue on.
Yeah, I was struggling hard because I was like, well, this is a samurai game. I should probably listen to these guys and just keep to the code. And then I was like,
and then you're
fuck
like,
their
oh, they're
code.
Japanese.
Fuck their code. I'm like, I'm going to assassinate those two sons of bitches myself.
So assassinating is kind of frowned upon?
It is. Basically, at the beginning when I was with, like, a teacher and I assassinated someone, he reprimanded me against saying that it's, like, against their code. And then later on, like, the second time I did it, I got a cutscene. Now it doesn't do anything, but I haven't been with any, like, all my missions now have been solo or with, like, the thieves. So they're about shady shit. So
right. That's kind of...
Then there's, like, yeah.
I don't know. I just want to play the game how I want to play it. I mean, I'm sure it's, like, if you... Maybe you're going to get a bad ending because you're playing, like, a fucking thief.
But that's
thief.
The
I don't
thing,
know.
Right? Like, I don't get... How can you constantly bring up the code, but then have your guy automatically get the assassinate ability and you have to use it during one of the missions?
What if you walk up to a guy with his back to you and you go, hey, bud, and he turns around and then kill him? And then it'd be fine because he was facing you.
Tap him on the shoulder and stab him in the stomach.
It seems like if they can even get out a sound, though, the whole base is alerted.
Oh, that drives me crazy. Like in games where, you know, you kill somebody and, like, somebody else sees it happen, but then every single person around knows that it happens. Yeah.
And then, like, Far Cry and Assassin's Creed, there's always some son of a bitch that has a fucking warhorn that's going to bring in the reinforcements.
Yeah,
warhorn is fine, like, as long as they can get it out. But if somebody, like, sees it happening and they're like, oh, hey, so, and then you kill them, like, mid-sentence, like, that always happens. But before you...
No, they carry the warhorn. You don't know when he'll, like, I'm fighting one guy and I off to my right, far back, I see, like, one guy blowing the horn. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is going downhill already.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, I'm with you, Cole. Like, if they... And the guy with the war horn always has the most fucking HP, too, and you try to, like, stealthily take him out, and then he's like, oh, ooh. Takes an arrow to the head, and then he goes, oh, fucking... Yeah.
I want to blow this thing before I croak.
But I've noticed everyone can have a war horn, apparently. Like, yeah. It's just a random thing. You don't know who's going to blow, like, fucking blow it.
Yeah. Talking about Skyward Sword last week, throwback to this, but there was the Bokoblins that had their war horns in Skyward Sword, you'd get the whip, and they would be like, oh, hey, and then he would start to blow his fucking blowhorn thing, and then you take the whip and literally fucking take it right out of his hand. You're like, thank you, I'll take that. And then he gets all pissed off at you and charges at you. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. There is, like, I'm starting to unlock also, like, there's more stealth abilities. So, like, I've gotten, you can get your choice, like, later on when you complete missions of, like, what you want to unlock. So, mm-hmm. first off, I did smoke bomb. Mm-hmm. And then I just got the wind chimes. Wind chimes, like, you throw to the ground and they basically confuse the enemy to, like, oh, something's happening over there. I'll walk over there. And then you can just assassinate them. Yeah. Get them away from the group. Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. And then he'll be facing you because he's coming towards you, right?
Yeah. You can do it with them towards you. If you're in the grass or something and they walk towards you, you can assassinate them. But I think if you assassinate no matter what, it's like frowned upon. So I don't care anymore. I'm playing the game I want how I want on hardcore. If I am a bit of a completionist. So if I want to get 100% completion, maybe I'll just play it on easy after and, you know, face everyone. Like head on,
yep.
With my sword, just bring it on, come on, I'll take you all on.
I would be that guy where I'd just shout out the whole base and then try to fucking take them all on.
Yeah, it's hard, dude. Like you run out of health like so fast, and then you have to like heal yourself, and then you can run out of heal because it uses like you can gain it. It basically the same way as like Assassin's Creed,
yeah.
But above your health bar. You have these circles, which are your, I can't remember what they're called, but picture them as like one circle will give you health. I'm at 5 circles now that I can get, and killing enemies will give them to you.
Yep.
Yeah. So you build up that, and then you can, usually I try to enter like forts already with like full 5 heals.
Right. Yeah. Well, I always try to look as badass as possible, but it just never happens in games. You're like, oh, yeah. I'll walk in here and take this base on, no problem, and then you get totally fucking destroyed.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's so many enemies, right? And some of them, like, are, like, sleeping in tents. Some are, like just hidden in behind bushes, and it's really annoying. But one of my biggest issues, and remember when we first watched the reveal trailer back in... it was earlier this year.
Yeah.
Wasn't the reveal, but they were talking about the cosmetics and all that. Mm-hmm. There isn't that much customization. They were basically it's all like dying what color you want to change it.
Yeah.
There's only 8 sets of armor throughout the whole game.
So it's exactly like Pokemon Sword and Shield where they were just hyping about how much fucking customization there was and there's not.
Pretty much. There's nothing. Like so you can get like your first set you get is like the samurai armor. It starts at level 1 and then you can upgrade it to level 5, right? Mm-hmm. So it gets stronger, more perks and stuff like that. Then there's like the Ronin armor, which is literally you in a robe with a fucking broken straw hat.
Yeah.
You can get that to level 5. Now you actually look pretty badass as a Ronin.
Nice.
And they all have different perks. Like the samurai armor gives you more health and you take less damage, where the Ronin makes you more stealthy, but you deliver 30% more damage.
Yeah. Cool.
So, but yeah, 8 sets of armor, and then you can each of them you can change the color. That's it. Kind of disappointing. I felt like Assassin's Creed Odyssey and whatnot kind of like made the customization now.
Yeah.
Like whenever I compare a game, it goes straight to Odyssey.
Well,
there's just so much armor.
Did samurais have a wide variety of armor, or did they stick to like one specific style? Like I don't really know. So.
But there should just be different ways it looks, at least, right?
Yeah.
Not by color. Like, if you watch, like, a samurai movie, some guys will have, like, feathers on their heads or, like, a star or a half moon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There is the half moon, but that's it. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, there's only a couple different, like, there's your family armor set you get later on in the game. There's you can dress up, you get a Mongolian armor set, so you look like a Mongol. It's gonna be fun. I'm gonna keep playing the game, but I'm just a little disappointed.
Yeah, totally. Okay, well that's Ghost of Tsushima. We have one more thing to talk about here before we wrap her up for like probably the longest podcast we've done in a long time.
Yeah.
For the longest time.
Xbox.
Somebody, one article said Xbox, and I'm like, you fucking listened to the podcast and stole that because that was my thing. But yeah, continue.
Well, I guess the ex-boss would be Phil Spencer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a couple days ago, he actually announced that for the Series X, there will not be any first-party exclusives.
For a few years.
Yeah, for about 2 years.
Other than Halo, because obviously that's coming out.
Actually, I don't know, because Halo, he says none, right? So, and I'm... But he says they're all going to be cross-gen. So I think Halo Infinite's going to be on Xbox Series X and PC. Because it's not power... the Xbox One isn't powerful enough.
No. No.
It's just not going to have any exclusives that are just on that console.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when I first thought of it, I was kind of disappointed. But then when I thought, like, in the long game, this is actually kind of smart.
You think so? I mean, like, in terms of the cross-gen, yeah, sure. But, like, no first-party games, like... Are you fucking broken inside? Like,
well, not everyone owns an Xbox. Like, is not going to own a Series X and a top of the line gaming computer.
No, I get that.
So if it's coming out on both those, it's still basically an exclusive, right?
Well, when I say exclusive, I mean exclusive to Xbox. Like Halo is exclusive to Xbox and all that, right? So
these are exclusive.
Or was exclusive?
Yeah. It's not like Halo's going to be on Switch or something. It just means like it could be on the PC where when Halo, when it came out before, it was exclusively on the Xbox. Now it's on PC.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so when you said that there's no exclusive content for the next few years, you meant nothing exclusive to the next-gen consoles.
Just,
okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant there's no exclusive games, like... A new Gears or a new Halo or whatever the fuck for the next couple years.
No, they're okay. All still coming. It's just they probably won't just be on the Series X. It'll probably be on PC.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because they're trying to push their PC platform a lot more too, right?
Yeah.
And especially with the Game Pass Ultimate.
Yeah, what they have on the PC is great. Like, you don't even really need to use your Xbox anymore if you have a good PC.
Well, yeah,
this is all cross platform.
Why bother making a new fucking console then?
I will read quickly go through this article, but basically Phil Spencer is saying the games you buy should be yours to play no matter what console you play within the Xbox family or beyond with mobile devices with the rise of xCloud next year or PC. So you won't be forced into the next generation. We want every Xbox player to play all the new games from Xbox Game Studios. That's why Xbox Game Studio titles will be released in the next couple of years, like Halo Infinite, will be available to play great on Xbox Series X and Xbox One. We won't force you to upgrade to Xbox Series X at launch to play our games. Okay, so Halo Infinite is going to be on Xbox One. I bet you it's going to be downgraded, though.
It's going to look like ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the loading screen...
Oh, go ahead, Rodney.
I was going to say the loading screens on Xbox One are going to be
horrendous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
I hope, like, this is kind of in a good direction, I think. Like, I hate being forced into the next thing and the next thing. Like my Switch, you know, like, I don't really have a lot of games for my Switch, but, like, I like it and I'm comfortable with it, and then it's like they're already getting into kind of the Switch 2. Or, like, there's, like, whispers and stuff about it, and I'm like, not yet.
The 4K dock and all that. I still think Nintendo might announce it sometime this year. They just have not done anything E3 related.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's good. I hope Xbox doesn't get in hot water for this, you know, because I think it's the right direction to go in.
I do, too. And Phil Spencer, no matter what he says, he always just sounds so suave with how he phrases things. Like, here, he's like, as a player, you are the center of our strategy. Our device is not the center of our strategy. Our game is not the center of the strategy. We want to enable you to play the games you want to play with your friends you want to play with, or on any device, on any TV, on any Xbox, on any PC. It's going to be the best way to play console games.
Preach it, Phil.
Yeah. Well, he could be a preacher, man. Like, that was a sermon right there.
He was a... Jehovah's Witness came door to
door.
Door to door selling Xboxes.
Selling Xbox. He's like your local vacuum cleaner.
Oh, man. What if that's like a initiation to get into Microsoft Office?
You gotta you have to sell at least 15 Xboxes.
Yeah, Xboxes door to door.
Yeah.
You
have a minute to talk about my Xbox.
Hello here, Xbox here. Phil Spencer.
Gonna sell you some Xboxes right at home.
Oh. And then it overheats and red rings and fucking explodes.
Yeah.
That'd be a funny sketch, you know, like an old vacuum salesman but selling Xboxes. This Xbox, yeah, it won't red dot on you.
I had a guy that I went to film school with. He used to sell Kirby vacuums, and he's like, we literally just sat on their couch and just like threw the fucking vacuum across the room, and it would just like pull it back kind of nonchalantly, and it would do a better job than most of their vacuums. It's like fucking lazy, dude. Shit.
Wow.
Anyways, okay, so that's good to hear, I guess, from Xbox. It still hasn't really persuaded me to buy an Xbox. Actually, I was talking to Mark yesterday, and he's like, I want to get whatever console like me and Will are getting, and I'm like, well, I'm not gonna get an Xbox because there's no games on there that are worth my money.
That's the thing. Like, I think Thursday the 23rd is gonna make my will determine what I feel moving forward for the next Xbox.
Yeah, totally. What about you, Cole? What are you feeling?
I don't know. My computer actually kind of crapped out on me. Not my laptop, but my desktop.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking of keeping the shell and like rebuilding it. I have a couple buddies who were like, oh, we'll give you some tips and stuff on how to build a computer. You actually might be able to help me, Rodney. And I think I might go hard on my desktop. And if I do that, then I have the ultimate pass. I play a bunch of stuff on my computer, and like I would even be playing COD, which is kind of the only thing on my computer, but I just don't have enough space or room or power. Like I'd even be playing Gears of War. So once I upgrade my computer, I don't really need an Xbox because I have it all.
Yeah.
On my
That's kind of where I'm at too. Like the only actual game that I would want to play is Halo Infinite, and if it's available on PC, then there's no point in me buying an Xbox.
The only thing I use my Xbox more for, like, then play COD, which I would do on my PC, is, like, I watch Netflix with my wife or Amazon, whatever. Like, that's just on my Xbox One, so I don't need to upgrade in order to do that. I can just do it on what I have now.
Yeah. That's essentially what the Wii U became, was a fucking Netflix machine.
I brought it to my parents. My Wii U just sits in my parents' house, so when I go over there, I can play Pikmin 3.
Can you bring that back, and can you lend it to me? Because like I've actually been trying to find a Wii U, and I can't find one.
You want to borrow my Wii?
Yeah,
U?
Yeah, I want to play some fucking OG Wii U games, man.
I was going through my Wii U games. I got some pretty dope Wii U games.
Shit, do you have?
What do you want?
Well, I still have my Wii U games. Like I have Twilight Princess and Wind Waker HD.
I got Wind Waker HD. I got Pikmin 3. I have Mario Color Splash. I have Black Flag.
Yeah.
I have Super Smash Brothers.
Sorry. Going back to Pikmin 3. Pikmin 3 is such a good fucking game. I was trying to speed run that story mode. It's so challenging. And I think the fastest I ever did it was like 8 days or something, 7 or 8 days.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's friggin' super fast. I literally sat down and beat Pikmin 1 in one sitting, and I'm playing through. Pikmin 2 is like the absolute, like, if you're gonna play Pikmin, Pikmin 2 is what I want from Pikmin. It is the best. There's a few mechanics from 3 that I like, but Pikmin 2 was where it's at.
Yeah.
Everything, they did everything right in that game.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, didn't Miyamoto announce Pikmin 4 like 3-4 years ago now?
I don't know if he did, but I made a YouTube video on where the fuck is Pikmin 4. You got to pull that shit out of the ground.
I don't know if he announced it, but he said it was in development. So, you know, I really hope Nintendo has some sort of like maybe a Nintendo Direct within the next month or two that we can kind of feel like where they're going for this year.
Yeah.
Because last year they basically surrendered and said they were focusing on this year to bring them back.
Yeah,
but so far, what have they released this year other than Pokemon?
Origami King?
Yeah, that's about it. That's about it.
Yeah.
But Cole, I want to play multiplayer Pikmin 3 with you. Like, that was the best
fucking
thing.
that's the worst part about Pikmin is like they've had so many fun, interesting multiplayer ideas that unless you like have a sibling or a friend who comes over who's like, yeah, let's play Pikmin, it just doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean the not the story mode, like the challenge mode or whatever the fuck it was, like they were fucking hard. Like you had to think about every single move. You had to make every single move count because you only got 8 minutes to like collect all the fruit and defeat all the enemies and bring their bodies back. It's like, oh my god, it was so challenging. And that's what I loved about it. It was like you had to. I was prideful on it because it was multi-managing and manage so many little Pikmin, and it got to the point where like you could literally only send 6 Pikmin at this job and it would just finish in time. It's like insane multitasking fucking skills you needed to do that shit, and that's what I really liked about Pikmin personally.
My problem with Pikmin 3 is that you were only collecting fruit. That was it. In Pikmin 2, you were collecting fruit, you were collecting treasure, you were like, there were so many things that you could collect. The dungeons were great because they had all these different dungeons that you could go through to play. Like it was just, I liked Pikmin 3, but I was like, fruit, give me something more to collect than just fruit.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Anyways, maybe next time we can talk about Pikmin. We got a super long cast here, so we should wrap her up. So hey guys, let us know what you guys thought about Paper Mario if you've played it, or Ghost of Tsushima on our Discord. We got one comment on there. One sec, let me pull that up. But yeah, it's Paper Mario has been good so far. Like I think that what saved it for me is the overworld. If it was just focusing on the battles and all that kind of stuff, I might have lost interest a while ago. But battles are kind of unnecessary, so you know, just worry about the overworld for now. But anyways, Charlotte Avery says that he's enjoying Paper Mario. She's enjoying Paper Mario. I was really scared at first, but it ended up being really fun. I can't put it down. So kind of
nice.
A different.
Keep it going.
Yeah, keep it going. Anyways, if you don't have this Discord, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter. We check those all the time. So let us know what you guys think about those games, and we'll see you guys next week when. Yeah, the Xbox thing will be in 4 days.
Yeah.
So
discuss Xbox.
Xbox.
See if they let us down.
I want them to come to my door and sell me an Xbox. All right. let's wrap it up. Okay, guys, thanks a lot. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. See you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.